are listening to the podcast of the White Church at the Elk River YMCA in Minnesota. Our mission is to seek Jesus, connect together, and share his love.
Mark 10, 13 through 16, the little children and Jesus. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them.
Great, thanks, Jeff. It's good to be back home with you. And we're suffering well this morning as Minnesotans out here. We're singing My Lighthouse, and I'm like, is that rain on the yellow song sheet? And I'm just imagining it's like Sea Splash, you know, with the lighthouse. So, but it's good to be back home. We were away visiting my wife's family. And maybe you too had some time away or were on a trip or at a lake this summer. It is good to go, but it is also really good to come home, isn't it? It is good to unpack your bags. It's even good to do the laundry in your own washer and dryer. It's good to, if you're a kid, play in your own yard and be in your own room. It's good for any of us to sleep in your own bed again and to use your own coffee mug and all those little things that make home, home. It's also good to be home again because I missed you. We missed you as a family. That is something special that we get to share, is being connected to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's good to worship with you. And when we're not here or you're not here, we miss one another. Look forward to this fall and all that we have ahead. Just coming back earlier this week, I was also just reminded how thankful I am for the team of leaders who serve here at the Y Church, whether that's our staff team or our leadership team, our serving teams, even just setting up outside this morning, our worship team getting here when it was probably not even 60 degrees yet. There are so many folks who pitch in and help ministry and mission happen every week here. And I feel like I just get to be part of the team. And so I come home and the mission of the church hasn't missed a beat. I checked in with John from our worship team about a week ago, and I was thinking I should send John some song suggestions for Labor Day weekend for this Sunday. And so I sent John a note, and he says, "Oh, don't worry about it. It's done already." Oh, okay. Great. And then I come home, and I see Megan's office, and it's wallpapered with plans for kids and students this fall and the names of adult leaders who've stepped up to serve. And then to find on my desk this postcard. I don't think you've gotten it yet, but we put it out in the mail now this weekend, and so you'll get this postcard. If it was up to me to design a postcard, I'd still be leaning on my sixth grade skills in clip art, dragging and dropping onto a Word document. But this is great, and it announces our fall plans and our fall message series. It is called Seen and Heard, Kids in the Bible, and that's what we start this weekend. If you have spent some time at the Y Church, then you know that we have a couple of core commitments. Number one, we are committed to studying the Bible. We believe that this book is the written revelation of God that he gave to us so we could know him and follow him. Number two, every year we are committed to studying three places in the Bible. They're the Old Testament, the New Testament letters, and the Gospels. And we feel like that pattern over time helps us get to all the nooks and crannies of Scripture instead of maybe getting stuck in our favorite topics or themes. The fun thing about this fall is that we're going to travel through all three of these spots with the help of kids and young people. When we were flying home, my 7-year-old son had the window seat next to me, and he's just tall enough now where he can see out the window and kind of look down and see what's going on. You know, if kids are real little, they're not tall enough yet to be able to do that. So he's 7, and he looks out the window, and all of a sudden he's grabbing my arm. He's saying, "Dad, Dad, look, these are once-in-a-lifetime clouds." And I look out the window, and I see some clouds, and I'm about to turn back to my screen when I realized that my son was seeing something that I had gotten used to or forgotten. And so I paused and I thought, you know, I suppose they are once in a lifetime clouds out there, billowing up and shining in the sun in that moment over that piece of earth in a way and in a formation that will never be duplicated again. And they were beautiful, like heaps of marshmallow cream with that bluebird sky as the canvas, the background. And I would have missed it. I would have missed it if it wasn't for my son. So can you remember a time like that in your own life when you learned something from a kid or you were reminded of something that's important by a student? I'm sure you can. This summer, Megan and I were thinking ahead to fall. We're thinking about all the different places where Bible stories feature young people, and these stories span the pages of Scripture. Apparently, young people are important to God. They're in His book. And they're uniquely positioned to teach us some things about following Jesus, which is what today is all about as we begin in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to spend a few minutes in this story and really set the scene for this fall and all that's ahead. The title of the message in this whole series is Seen and Heard. We're probably all familiar with the old adage. This was Megan, a spark of genius, coming up with this title because we've all heard that before. Kids are meant to be seen and not heard. My sister is here this morning. I know that was a mantra at our house and maybe at yours as well. But Mom, I think Jesus has some things to say about that. Now, hang on, because not for the reasons that you might expect. Not just because kids are cute and cuddly and all innocent. If you think that, then you don't know kids. So let's get into Mark chapter 10 for a few minutes together. We'll start there with the description in verse 13. We don't have blue Bibles out here this morning, so I'll just read what's there for us, or maybe you have it on your phone, you can follow along. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus. Okay? Description. Here's what's going on. The people who are described aren't named further or identified in any way. They're just people, just ordinary folks who go down in the pages of history as anonymous. They're people from the nearby towns and countryside, probably parents and grandparents who are bringing their kids to receive a blessing from Jesus. And that's pretty ordinary stuff when you think about it. You know, we still do the same thing today. If somebody famous comes to town, if Santa Claus comes to town, we go and see him. If we have a chance to go get an autograph from one of our favorite ball players, Adam Thielen's in town, or Max Kepler, or Polanco, or whoever it is, we try to get an autograph. Maybe you stay late after the game, or you show up early. When I was little, I remember I got a picture with Donald Duck. And I'll tell you what, I didn't need to see anything else in Florida after that opportunity. I got what I came for. In Mark 10, Jesus was pretty popular by this time. Now that will change with the arc of the gospel, but he's popular and he's gained quite a following of people. The crowds would find him. He was doing miracles. He was healing people. And in general was considered to be a great rabbi. In the show Fiddler on the Roof, you familiar with that? Maybe at a certain age, you're familiar with Fiddler on the Roof. There's this great scene, I think it's in the song about tradition, where they talk about their beloved rabbi. And the scene has these young guys, students, flocking around the beloved rabbi. And one of them asks a question, says, Rabbi, is there a proper blessing for the czar? To which the rabbi says, a blessing for the czar? Of course. May God bless and keep the czar far away from us. For these parents in first century Israel, getting your kid blessed by the rabbi was a cool opportunity. And so they brought their little ones to Jesus. Now the word there for little children is the one that actually indicates too something about their age. Because there would be a word just for children. This is a different one. And it means that these kids are really quite small. They're the little ones. In fact, Luke's gospel tells the same story, and Luke uses the word for babies. And plus, that would kind of make sense, because at the end of the story, Jesus takes them in his arms. I still try to get my 10-year-olds in my arms, but it's getting trickier every year. But in the story, there's something standing in the way now of these parents who are bringing their little children to Jesus. And of all things, it's his own disciples. It says in verse 13, but the disciples rebuked them. Now, rebuke is a word of sharp disapproval or criticism. This was not a Minnesota nice kind of course correction. When our kids first started at their school, I unknowingly perpendicular parked in the drive-through lane for after-school pickup. Now, let me tell you something. You do not mess with the after-school pickup line. And so what do you think happens? There's a knock on my window. Tap, 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 tap. I roll down the window. Hi there, you must be new. You know, this is where the cars drive through the lane to pick up the little kiddo. So if you could just pull your car on out. It's Minnesota nice kind of correction, isn't it? All right, the disciples rebuked the parents and grandparents. They raised their voices. They physically got in the way. They beelined it straight towards them and then said, oh, no, you don't. This is Jesus we're talking about. You think this is some kind of circus that you can come to? They turned them right around. They said, you get your crying babies and your snotty-nosed kids out of the way of the rabbi. It was loud. They made a scene. And Jesus catches wind of it. And now watch out, because his reaction is unmistakable. In verse 14, it says, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. This is the only place in all of the Gospels where Jesus is described with the Greek word indignant. And what is indignant? It is strong anger. This is Jesus' righteous anger. And his reaction is swift and fierce. He runs over and he publicly confronts and corrects his disciples. And he says in verse 14, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Now, if we're not careful, we may think that we just hit the moral of the story right there and the credits can roll. We may think that the moral of the story is Jesus wants us to be nice to children. And while that's true, it is not the point of the story. The teaching of this passage is not about children, it is about the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 1, when Jesus arrives on the scene, what is the message that he proclaims? If you would flip back there, you would see these words. The time has come, and then what does it say? The time has come, be nice to children? No, it says the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus is here to declare that God has a kingdom that stands above every earthly kingdom, and he is the king. And the best thing in life is to live in his kingdom and to come under his kingship. The ways of this kingdom are what the gospels are about. This is what Jesus has been teaching and preaching. He's saying all the way up till chapter 10, this is what my kingdom is like. And when we get here to Mark 10 and this situation unfolds, Jesus, indignant, says essentially to his disciples, you do not know the ways of my kingdom. Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. And then what does it say? For the kingdom of God belongs to these? No, I left out two words, didn't I? Such as. He says, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. You see, Jesus is pointing to the babies and toddlers and these little kids as an illustration for discipleship. The story is not about them. It's about something much bigger, and it's something for all of us. They're a picture of what it means to follow Jesus and be in his kingdom. And how are they uniquely positioned to do that? It's because kids are small and weak and helpless. A baby cannot feed itself. A baby cannot walk down the hallway and go to the bathroom on its own. When you hold a baby, what do you have to do? You have to support its neck and cradle its head in your hand. A little kid cannot make their own doctor's appointments. A little kid can't drive a car to go to the store or drive a car anywhere for that matter. Children cannot vote or run for office. They are powerless and dependent on their parents. And now we're getting closer to the metaphor, aren't we? In the culture Jesus lived in, children were at the bottom of the social order. They were of least value. But in the culture of the kingdom, Jesus turns that value system upside down. And he says, the kingdom of God is for the weak and the helpless and the unimportant. And then Jesus adds this in verse 15. He says, truly I tell you, this is one of the 14 times in Mark's gospel where Jesus says, truly I tell you. And it's his way of saying, listen up, this is critically important. Verse 15, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Children are weak and helpless and unimportant. And unless you receive God's kingdom on that basis, you will never enter it. Jesus' own disciples hadn't learned it yet or had forgotten it in this moment to receive the kingdom like children. All of a sudden, their value system was just matching up with the world's value system. A value system that's about strength and power and the ability to take care of oneself. But that's not how you enter the kingdom of God. The message of the kingdom and this king is that you cannot take care of yourself. But there is a king who has come for you. And he says in Mark 1, repent and believe the good news. And so this fall, as we get ready, this is kind of a time of year when I take a big, deep breath and I think about what my life looks like and what this fall is going to look like. I just want to ask us, what is the heartbeat of your faith this fall? What is the value system that you are operating on right now? On what terms are you in relationship with Christ? Because if you think you have to be good enough or strong enough or finally put together enough, then you have not understood the kingdom of God or the gift that this king has to give. Children know what to do with a gift. I have never had to give my kids step-by-step instructions on what to do with a present. Here's a gift, boom. Their hands are ready to go and outstretched to receive it. To enter the kingdom of God, you have to receive it as a gift. You don't earn it. You don't negotiate for it. You can't pay back the giver. It's called grace. And it rains down on us. You and I live in a culture of status, all right? Holiday weekend, but Tuesday comes and you're going to go to school or work. And you live and I live in a culture where we get caught up in who we are, what we do, and what we achieve. We want to be self-made men and women who have it together and don't need handouts. On the other hand, there's probably some of us who feel like, no, actually, I've blown it so badly and failed so many times that I'd never be worthy of this gift, and shame has buried your chances. To enter the kingdom of God depends on our ability to receive it. That's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. To just open your arms and receive it. Those are the terms of your relationship with Christ and life in his kingdom. The good news for you and I is that his kingdom is for the weak and the helpless and the ordinary and the unimportant who don't have it quite figured out this fall. That is good news. Samuel Rutherford said, stoop, stoop. It is a low entry to go in at heaven's gate. I love that line because that's the perfect height for children who have no claim to the gift that is given. It is the perfect height for you and me in Christ. Shall we pray together? Lord, we are so thankful that you remind us of your perspective, your value system, and the free gift of grace that you offer to us. Lord, help us to put aside our to-do lists and expectations for ourselves and our own status, and just to open our arms and receive you as our King, that we would enjoy all the benefits of living in your kingdom with you forever. Lord, thank you for our time in worship this morning. As the rain comes down, you water the earth, you water and nourish us spiritually, and we're so grateful for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Y Church podcast. For more information about the Y Church, check us out online at theychurch.org.